Hi, my name is David.
Hi, my name is Ben. You are listening to Check It In, Check It Out,
a radio show all about the library,
the Elgin County Library.
We hope you enjoy the show.
I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out.
Thanks to Ben and David from the Learn class at Summers Corners Public School for our introduction. Yes, indeed. You are listening to Check It In, Check It Out, and we're coming to you from CHPD 105.9 Radio De Brieg in Aylmer, Ontario. I'm Julie Berry, and you are in for a sweet show tonight. The students in Ms. McCarthy's class have been working hard to get this radio show ready for you.
Pizza is Italy's national food.
Japan's national dish is sushi.
Russia is famous for its borscht. People in the Barbados like to eat flying fish on Fridays.
Mexico is known for tortillas and tamales.
But when people all over the world are asked about Canada's national food, guess what they say?
Maple syrup.
Maple syrup comes from trees. Maple trees. Sugar maple trees.
You can only collect the sap in the spring when the nights are freezing and the days are warmer, above freezing.
The farmer hammers a spigot into the tree and puts a bucket underneath to collect the sap that drips from the tree.
The sap looks just like water.
But it doesn't taste like water. It's a little bit sweet.
Then the farmer collects all the sap and puts it into a big kettle under a fire. And then they boil it and boil it and boil it for a long, long time. A very long time.
Finally, the sap boils down into a delicious liquid. It's called maple syrup. It's sweet.
Sweet.
It's sweet. It's sweet.
Sweet. Our story today is called Maple Moon, and it's all about the First Nations people who lived in Canada.
They lived here long before there were stores or roads or cars or even computers.
Maple Moon is about how they discovered that maple sap turns into maple syrup. Maple Moon was written by Connie Bromwell Crook and Scott Cameron.
A long time ago, in the heart of the great forest, in a clearing filled with wigwams, there lived a young Mississauga boy. The clearing was on the south side of a gently sloping hill. At the bottom of the hill was a small lake called Rice Lake, because of the wild rice that grew there. All kinds of trees grew in the forest, maple, willow, spruce, balsam, and birch, and gave shelter from the northwest winds. In summer, those winds brought rain. In winter, they brought snow. The year the boy turned 8, the snows came early. The children of the clearing loved it. They ran between the wigwams, kicking up drifts and throwing snowballs. The boy watched and wished that he could join their circle. But he was different. When he was a baby, he had injured his left leg, and it hadn't healed properly. Now he always limped and never joined in the games. Sometimes one mean boy, fast as lightning, would taunt, "Limping leg, come and play." But the boy only stood in his hooded raccoon cloak, wishing he could. Only some of the children called the boy Limping Leg. Everyone else used the name his mother had given him, Rides the Wind. She called him that because of the sled his father had made him. With Nimush pulling, the boy could move faster than any of the other children. Nimush was a big, strong, shaggy dog that was half timber wolf. Rides the Wind loved him, and he loved the winter. But this winter was different. The drifts were so high that Namoosh could not get through them. The ice had frozen thick on Rice Lake, and fishing was impossible. Again and again the hunters came home with no meat to feed their people. The women gave out only small amounts of wild rice and dried berries, for their supply was almost gone. The months passed until it was time for spring, but spring did not come. Everyone in the clearing was very hungry. One day deer tracks were sighted deep in the forest. While all the hunters hurried away, the women and old folks built a fire, hoping to roast a great buck before nightfall. The children were sure their fathers would return with enough food for a big feast. They danced happily around the roaring flames while their elders waited and chanted prayers to the great Creator. Rides the Wind could not dance with the children. Even though one old woman invited him to sit beside her, he stood outside the circle, watching with Namoosh. Then, not wanting the others to see his sad face, Rides the Wind limped slowly through the deep snow and into the woods. Namoosh tried to follow, but Rides the Wind wanted to be alone and sent the big dog home. Rides the Wind struggled as far as he could until he reached a large old maple tree, Ninotik, he whispered, for that was the name of all maple trees. I'm going to rest with you for a moment. As the boy leaned against the tree's sturdy trunk, he heard faint singing drifting toward him from the camp. Then there was a noise overhead. He looked up and saw a reddish-brown squirrel scampering along a branch. Rides the Wind stayed completely still, moving only his eyes as he watched. The squirrel ran halfway along the limb, stopped, sat on its haunches, and held its paw under its chin. Then it looked down and saw Rides the Wind. Immediately it bounded along the branch, glancing back at the boy as if it was trying to tell him something. At the very end, the squirrel began clawing at the bark. When it put its head straight down on the branch, Rides the Wind thought it was going to somersault, but it didn't. Instead, it started drinking from the bare spot it had made. Still motionless, Rides the Wind watched all of this. When the squirrel had drunk its fill, it looked again at the boy, flew back along the branch and right up the trunk to the top of the tree. "What are you showing me, Red Squirrel?" Rides the Wind asked. But the squirrel did not answer. Rides the Wind hopped up and down on his good leg until he managed to grasp the end of the branch. He could see a bald patch on the wood with sap oozing from it. He took a small, sharp knife from his cloak pocket and cut into the bark a few inches from where the squirrel had scratched. Then, just like the squirrel, he drank sap from the tree. It tasted sweet. The boy stood back and saw more clear sap trickling down from the branch. Suddenly, Rides the Wind had an idea. Rides the Wind went home to get a hatchet and two birch bark baskets. He went back to the forest to Ninotik and used his hatchet to make a small cut in the trunk. He managed to get the sap to drip into the birch bark basket. He sat down and waited. It took nearly all day for the baskets to fill with sap. By the time he got home, the hunters had returned with only a thin, small buck. Everyone was disappointed, and his mother was angry that he had been gone so long. "Where have you been?" his mother demanded when she saw the boy standing in the shadows. She grabbed him, and some of his precious water slopped over the side of the basket. "Look," he said, "it's sweet water from Ninotik." "You silly boy," she scolded. "Give me that water." She threw it on top of the fresh meat she had just cut up and dropped into a clay cooking pot. "At least it will save me from having to go to the lake for ice water. I spent so much time today looking for you. I'm behind in my work." "But it really is sweet water," the boy said with a downcast face. Then the child's father stepped forward and said firmly, "Go home now, Rides the Wind." With only Namoosh for company, the boy turned and limped sadly towards the wigwam. He opened the entrance flaps and dragged himself over to his bed of cedar boughs. All the while, the delicious sweet water bubbled and blended with the meat that simmered in the big clay pot. 2 hours later, Rides the Wind was startled by his father's voice. "Wake up! Wake up!" His father pulled him from his bed and led him out of the wigwam. He sounded very excited, but he did not sound angry. "What's wrong, father?" the boy asked. "Nothing, Rides the Wind. The elders want to ask you some questions." The man and boy walked over to where the elders were sitting. His father took Rides the Wind into the center of the circle. The small boy was very much afraid. Were they going to punish him for spending the whole day in the woods? He was glad that his father was holding his hand. The chief spoke. "We want to know where you found the sweet water." Rides the Wind answered, "From Nunotek. I saw a red squirrel sipping the water, so I drank a little too, and it was good." The boy explained how he had cut a hole in the tree's trunk and collected the sap to bring home. "Tomorrow we will go see. Now taste this." The chief scraped a bit of food out of the pot and offered it to the boy. Rides the Wind took a bite while the chief and the elders watched. It was delicious. He had never eaten such sweet deer meat before. As Rides the Wind walked back to the wigwam, his father smiled down at him proudly. At sunup the next day, Rides the Wind and his father gathered with the chief and the elders. Rides the Wind was on his sled. Enough snow had melted the day before that Nemush could now get through the drifts. As Rides the Wind led the elders away, the children and younger women poked their heads outside to watch. The boy's mother stood smiling beside their wigwam. Rides the Wind turned and saw, fast as lightning. The nasty boy was mouthing the name Limping Leg. He did not dare say the words aloud since Rides the Wind was beside the chief. Rides the Wind held his head up high and paid no attention. He led the group towards the maple tree at the edge of the woods. "Wait," said the chief. "At what time yesterday did you come to this tree?" "I stayed all day," Rides the Wind answered. "Then we shall stay," the chief said. He did not smile, nor did he frown, but Rides the Wind was worried. They all sat down on bearskin blankets at the foot of the tree and waited in silence. When the sun came out and shone fully, little frozen puddles began to melt and rivulets of water streamed around them. His father spoke to Rides the Wind. "Did you scoop up the water from puddles like these?" "No, father, I took it from this tree. Look." He pointed to Notik. Once again, sap was dripping off the piece of bark sticking out from the trunk. A steady trickle of sweet water fell into the birch bark basket. The chief reached over and cupped his hands under the dripping sap. Then he tasted it and smiled. "It truly is the sweet water. We will take it from many more trees like this one." He looked up at the sturdy maple and smiled. "Thank you, Nunotik." Then he turned to the little boy. "And thank you, Rides the Wind. Because of you, we will not starve. We will boil this water into the food we found at the bottom of our pot last night. It will make all our meat taste sweet. The great Creator did not give us a big stag, but our prayers have been answered in a much better way. Tonight, we must give thanks for your discovery with a celebration. We will call it the Festival of Nunotik in the time of the Maple Moon." Then the chief smiled. "And tonight, I will give you a new name," he said. "It will be Wise Little Raven. And when you grow big, we will call you Wise Raven." The boy looked up at his father and saw his eyes shining with pride. "Now, my son, no one will laugh at you again."
You have been listening to Check It In, Check It Out.
This show wouldn't be possible without the generous help of the Elgin County Public Library
and the Mennonite Community Services of Aylmer, Ontario.
We'd also like to thank all the folks at Radio Debris.
And a big thank you to Agatha, Lisa, David 1 and David 2, Herman, Nick, Isaac, and Ben. Without their hard work, this show would not have happened. And thanks also to their awesome teacher, Ms. McCarthy. You can tune in to Check It In, Check It Out on Mondays and Wednesdays at 5. I'm Julie Barry. Thanks for listening.
Gendach, and welcome to Check It In, Check It Out, and radio program for Kenya by the Elgin County Library. Ak hoop jahan dit program geglecht. Ak san Mary Ham, and ak shof by the Aylmer Library. Vihatna Library in Straffordville, Springfield, and Port Burwell. And ye can crack die what ye vound for, de zant ola nu oop. De oop ner stun zant on de library dairn to zine. Ye can a foon, nendot foonama as, fief eint nang, zas droi eint fire zas null, extension, eint null nang, van jut noch my information failed. Bitte koop nan and zeit wat vi han in onze libraries tum junt and juna familia mat halpen.
Out the door we danced and sang, the whole library rang. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. I'm going